Dear Lord, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. Open our hearts, open our lives, open the days afresh to us, to your Holy Spirit, to your risen Son. We ask this in Jesus Christ. Amen. Do take a seat. You are loved. It is true, you are loved. You are loved by God. It is true, you are loved. How do I know that? How can I say that you are loved by God? The simple answer, the quick answer, is because that is what Easter is all about. What happened on the cross is a clear demonstration of just how much God loves you. The Bible says that God loves you so much, loves all of creation so much, that he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. But what if you're sat here today and you don't believe in God, or you're just not sure, and you're not sure about the resurrection? What if for you the cross doesn't clearly demonstrate God's love, but instead you find it all a bit unbelievable? Or you just can't see how God allowing his Son to be sacrificed demonstrates any kind of love? Imagine it's Tuesday morning in a couple of days' time, and you go downstairs, and amongst the usual clutter — there are other pieces of companies available, but amongst the usual clutter of stuff that you get through the door, you find what looks like a very important letter envelope, and it's addressed to you. And it's printed on official law firm letter. And you, when you read this letter that is written to you, it says that you have inherited millions of pounds from a distant relative who you didn't even know existed. It is likely that you would be sceptical. There are so many scams out there in the world today, more than ever. And though this didn't come through social media or through your smartphone, you'd still be sceptical. But you would look into it, wouldn't you? You wouldn't just throw it away. Why? Because the offer is too much. Millions of pounds. Too great not to at least just look a bit further. Check out whether it's true or not. Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is just like that. You can be really, really skeptical about it, but the offer is too great not to look into it, not to just check it out, to dig a bit further. Because what the resurrection of Jesus Christ offers, what Jesus coming back to life after death offers, is not some vague, immaterial, otherworldly, afterlife sort of thing. It offers you and me a new body in a renewed and perfect world with loved ones walking with God. Now, that answer I just gave you, that the resurrection of Jesus offers you an opportunity for a good life after death, that is definitely the truth of the Bible. But what about the here and now? What about the here and now? Sometimes we can forget that our God is a God who is in the belief of life before death as well as life after death. And the life that God offers us in the here and now through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fulfilled life. Not an easy life, not a cushy life, but a fulfilled life. What does a fulfilled life look like for you? It's easy during life to be distracted and see a fulfilled life as many different things. But at the end of life, when one's whole life comes into sharp focus, what I hear from those who have felt that their life has somehow been unfulfilled is that the source of their sadness has been about love lost, relationships broken, hurts between friends and within families that were never healed. The palliative care physician and author Ira Bock, in his famous book, The Four Things That Matter, lists the four things that matter to people when they have come to the end of their life. He writes these four things, which he compiled after years and years of being alongside hundreds of people at the end of their life. And he says these four things can be summed up in four simple phrases. Number one, please forgive me. Number two, I forgive you. Number three, thank you. Number four, I love you. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection offers you and I a relationship with a God who sees you today for who you are and says to you, ever so gently, I love you and I forgive you. The resurrection of Jesus offers you a relationship with a God who welcomes you and loves you as you are, but who also sees who you could be if you knew just how much you were loved by God. Inheriting a few million pounds from a lost relative is one thing, and not to be sniffed at. You could buy a huge number of very expensive carbon-framed bikes with a few million pounds. Okay. But, and I know it sounds cliched, but it's only cliched because it's true. What we need in life to be fulfilled and to flourish is to be loved and to love. For this reason, what the resurrection offers is just too much, too great to be ignored. Surely it is worth looking into a bit further, however sceptical you might be. I want to mention just one thing that makes a lot of people sceptical about God, about Jesus, about his death and his resurrection. There are lots of other things that might make you sceptical or doubting, and we all go through times of doubt. But here at St. James, we welcome sceptics and doubters, and we encourage questions, and we discourage blind faith. However, I think for many of us that God chose for his son to be sacrificed, to die a horrible, painful death on a cross so that we might live a fulfilled life. That seems wrong. It seems barbaric. It doesn't seem like the thing a loving father would do to his son. First off, it's worth remembering, though the Father allowed it to happen, it was Jesus' choice. He freely chose to go to the cross. It was a choice he freely made, born out of love. It was and is a reckless love. It is an overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. At about 11 a.m. on the 24th of March 2018, a terrorist claiming allegiance to ISIS stormed a supermarket in Treb, armed with a handgun, a hunting knife, and three homemade bombs. He shot two people dead and took others hostage. Police negotiated for the release of the hostages, and Arnaud Beltram, a member of the special forces of the French police, offered to take the place of the final one, a woman. Beltram set his mobile phone on the table with its lines open so the police outside could monitor the activity inside. After a three-hour standoff, the terrorists stabbed and shot Beltram. In response, special forces, Arnaud's colleagues and friends, stormed the supermarket at 2:40 p.m. and killed the assailant. An autopsy revealed that Beltram had died from stab wounds to the throat. Shortly after the attack, French President Emmanuel Macron announced that a national tribute would be paid to Beltram. At the tribute, Macron said of Arnaud, "To accept to die so the innocent can live, that is what is in the heart of a soldier's commitment." He added that Beltram's willingness to give his life was a greatness that transfixed the whole of France. The news agency Reuters report of that national tribute to Arnaud reads like this: "Colleagues of Beltram have paid tribute to the officer's sense of duty, his calmness under pressure, and a generosity which inspired those who served beside him. In serving the country, he gave his life," says General Zenis Fevrier, former senior official in the police. He went on to say, "He showed he was a man of values, a man of honour, who went beyond the call of duty to fulfil his mission." I've read a handful of articles about Arnaud Beltram, mostly online news feeds and in newspapers from the BBC, The Times, The Guardian, and American and French newspapers. When I've read the French newspapers, I've used Google Translate. Don't go thinking I can speak French. I struggle enough with English. And they avoid saying one thing. They all avoid saying one thing. The one thing that was not mentioned at the national tribute. The one thing that the French president did not mention. The one thing that all his friends knew about him and all his work colleagues knew about him. The one thing that was the most important thing to Arnaud himself, and which was probably fundamental to his decision to exchange his life for that of another. Arnaud knew the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Arnaud was a faithful and devout Christian. The 44-year-old lieutenant colonel, who was brought up not in a Christian family, but encountered God's love for himself when he was in his 30s. After finding faith, this very intelligent and highly skilled Special Forces officer spent 2 years studying the Bible and praying before choosing to be baptized. Arnaud was a man of deep faith. He would routinely go on short retreats to a Catholic abbey, to sit and pray there, to listen to God, to be inspired by the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. In his room, he had a room set aside for prayer, in which he would go and pray and read his Bible at the start and end of every day, to listen to God, to be inspired by God. Father Vincent, the vicar from St. Peter's here in Devizes, said on Good Friday at the Church's Together service that we need to, through time spent in prayer and reflection, strive for an inner Christ-like attitude that inspires our words and our actions. And those words from Father Vincent really struck a chord with me. In fact, they convicted me, because in these busy weeks of Lent, the truth is that I've been doing most things in my own strength and not turning to God in prayer as I should. But for Arnaud, his words and his actions were daily being inspired by the knowledge of God's reckless love for him. Every year, once a year, Arnaud, since becoming a Christian, set aside a time to go on pilgrimage. He took a huge chunk of time each year to go and listen to God, to be inspired by God. A few years ago, at such a pilgrimage, Arnaud prayed that he would meet a woman, that he would fall in love, and that he would be married. For the last 2 years, Arnaud and Marielle, his fiancée, have been monthly meeting with their priest, Jean-Baptiste, working through a marriage preparation course. That's some marriage preparation course, 2 years. If Anu had lived, he would have been married to Marielle in a few months' time. Instead, Jean-Baptiste spoke at Arnaud's memorial service, which happened shortly after the national tribute. I'm going to read some of the words that Jean-Baptiste said about Arnaud. So these next words are from his priest, who knew him well. You already know how brilliant Arnaud's military career was. However, more important than all this, and which Arnaud hid from no one, was the joy he offered him, the joy God had offered him through the discovery of his Christian faith. He thirsted for knowledge and understanding. Intellectually brilliant, he engaged in a demanding marriage preparation course with an earnestness that commanded my admiration. I was always struck by Arnaud's exuberance, his contagious joy. He was talkative, indeed almost a chatterbox. From time to time, I had to interrupt him to give Marielle a chance to speak. But he would yield, turning a tender smile towards her, because this soldier, this elite officer, melted before the woman he loved and overflowed with delicate attention and kind words. I witnessed this hundreds of times. When I blessed his house on December 16th of last year, I was struck by the decorations bearing witness to his faith. But what was still more striking was that he had set aside a prayer room. The three of us prayed there together. Imitate him. Let us make room in our lives for prayer. In these holy days of Lent, we recall the redemptive sacrifice of Christ. Let us praise the Lord for having let Arnaud imitate Christ. Arnaud knew the terrible risks that he was taking in offering himself as a hostage to the terrorist. He did it to save a life, many lives perhaps, because such was his commitment as a Christian. I believe he offered his life to stop death. The belief of the jihadists was directed to kill. The Christian faith of Arnaud invited him to save life, if necessary, at the price of his own. Colonel Beltram was convinced that an ideology could not be fought simply with weapons and computers, and that it would only be defeated permanently through spiritual convictions. For Arnaud, it was his faith that was the best shield against the murderous convictions that killed and the wishes to kill again. And then Jean-Baptiste ends with these words. Where there is hatred, let us bring love. Where there is doubt, let us bring faith. Where there is despair, let us bring hope. Amen. And now back to my words, and I will end with this. Arnaud had everything to live for. He was at the height of his career. He was soon to be married to the woman who had melted his heart, to the woman that he had prayed to God for many years to enter into his life. And he gave it all away. He chose to swap places with a hostage, not out of duty. What he did was way beyond anything that was taught or advised in his training, because he knew the reckless love of God. He knew the reckless love of Jesus on the cross, and he knew it as a love that never fails. He was convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither the height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation could separate him from that reckless love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you see now, maybe just a little, how this overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God can lead to a sacrifice? One man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, freely choosing to swap his life so that we could have a fulfilled life. A life where you can come as you are and turn to God and hear him whisper to you, "You are forgiven. I love you. It's true. It has always been true. My love for you is overwhelming. It is never ending, and it is reckless in the pursuit of you.